ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं समगाः। ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः। ॐ अथ साङ्ख्ययोगो नाम द्वितीयोऽध्यायः। इन् सेकेण्ड् चाप्टर् फ्रम् 11th वर्स् आन्वर्ड्स् भगवान् हेस् बीन् teaching Arjuna. Having stated in the very opening verse, the 11th verse, that wise people do not grieve at all. Then Bhagwan started discussing the nature of the Atma in those verses. We have come to the 28th verse. We are seeing the commentary on the 28th verse. Last class, in a hurry, I just abruptly left and went. I'm sorry about it. And so we are going to see the commentary of the 28th verse. It has been made very clear logically how Atma, the content of I, is absolutely indestructible. So death, there's no death for the Atma. Everything is reduced to two factors, as Atma and Anatma. There's no third thing here. If we thoroughly analyze, all that is here can be reduced to two factors, as Atma and Anatma. Atma is real, beginningless, endless, changeless, all-pervasive. So being all-pervasive is unmoving, changeless, motionless. Because it is motionless, changeless is actionless. So it is free from even punya papas. It is absolutely indestructible. Therefore, grief is something which has no legitimacy. Because grieving over the death of the Atma is a waste, it's a vain of thing. It is meaningless. There's no reason why there should be grief for the death of the Atma, because Atma is absolutely deathless. Atma is indestructible. If Atma is indestructible, thinking that Atma is destructible, grieving over the death of the Atma is meaningless. So very no legitimacy. Anarthakyam. Atmanaha marana vishaye dukkham anarthakyam. This grief is meaningless. Then even if it mistake the Atma for something which has an end, then also if it is, that is the nature is unchangeable, then also grief is inevitable, grief is unnecessary, grief is meaningless. Grieving over the Atma, mistaking it to be time-bound, is also meaningless. If it is time-bound, it is time-bound. It cannot be changed. This is the nature. But actually, Atma is absolutely timeless, changeless, deathless. Then what about Anatma? Anatma is also perennially eternal. It has no beginning. It has no end. But what unchangeable about the Anatma is, it is ever of the nature of constantly undergoing changes. So change being the changeless nature of the anatma, grieving over the change happening on the part of the anatma in the form of death is also meaningless, which means that's why grief has no legitimacy at all. There's no need for something called grief to be there at all if we understand the fact. But the grief itself is because of the attachment, and attachment is because of ignorance. Ignorance is the root cause of the grief. That is why in order to resolve ignorance alone, Atma Swarupam is discussed by Bhagavan in these verses. And we are seeing the beautiful commentary of Shankar Bhagavad Pada here. Let us see the verse. Avyaktadini bhutani vyaktamadhyani bharata. 28 verse. Avyaktani dhanam yeva tatraka paridevana. So paridevana ityukte, it is grief. The grief, expressed grief, is paridevana. The grief which rises in the mind is what? Grief. Dukkham. Dukkham shokaha. But same shokaha, same dukkham, it's expressed. And it will be expressed. Because of the dukkham is something unbearable. When the dukkham is there, it's unbearable. When there's a pain, and when it is expressed, it becomes lamentation. It is paridevana. You talk about this has happened, this has happened, this has happened, this shouldn't have happened, this is what. When you talk about it, that is lamentation, is expression of unbearable pain, grief. That's what is paridevana. So, tatra ka paridevana. What is this lamentation about? Expression of grief about, when there's no need for one to grieve at all. Why? He says, he talks about the bhutani here. Avyaktani, okay, avyaktani. Bhutani, what is avyaktam? I'm saying this, all of you have seen literal meaning. Bhutani avyaktadini. Vyaktamadhyani. Avyaktanidhanani. All the beings which constitute this universe, living beings, non-living things, elements, elementals, their actions, their experiences, everything, all these beings, when you say, they come into manifestation, become manifest. From remaining unmanifest, they become manifest. They are invisible, not available for perception, experience, enjoyment. They are not there. But they become manifest. And they are available for experience, enjoyment. Again, they become unmanifest. Avyakta madhyani, avyakta nidhanani. So that is the nature of the beings. So being remaining unmanifest without invisibly, imperceptibly is their nature. And from being unmanifest, imperceptible, invisible, becoming visible, becoming manifest is their nature. Again, from being manifest, becoming unmanifest, becoming invisible, imperceptible, non-available is also their nature. This is the unchangeable nature of the material form beings. What are the beings here? We can say beings here are nothing but the karyakarana sanghatani. Karyakarana sanghataha means all this body, mind, sense complex. The body, mind, sense complex. The material products are of this nature. Being material, that is how they can be unchangeable nature. So grieving, but they are not absolutely destructible. They are relatively destructible. The change is a relative destruction. And that is the nature of the matter, material products. Therefore, grieving over the unchangeable nature of the matter, material products, the material beings, is actually unnecessary, the grief need not be there if once the fact is understood and accepted. And lamenting about it also is unnecessary. That's why he's saying, Ratra ka paridevana is the literal meaning of the verse. We already seen. So I'm going to say the bhashyam quickly here. Avyaktani. First, Shankara Bhagavatpada comments upon the word avyaktani. Please make a note. Last class, Hari just quickly I stopped. Now he says, avyaktani means what? Avyaktam. Avyaktam means what? In that word avyaktani, you take the word avyaktam first. Avyakta means unmanifest. Unmanifest means what? Adarshanam. Adarshanam means what? Not being visible. So being invisible. Being invisible means what? Anupalabdhi, not being available, non-availability. Not being available for perception, for experience, for enjoyment, for interaction is anupalabdhi. What is non-availability of what? Adihi. Adihi means beginning. Yesham adihi avyaktam. Yesham adihi avyaktam. Yesham adihi anupala. Adihi avyaktam. Yesham bhutanam adihi avyaktam. The beginning condition. The beginning condition of before their coming into existence. If you are before coming into existence, the beings, where are they? How are they? It is not visible. It is not perceptible. It is not comprehensible. Imperceptible, inconceivable, incomprehensible. Okay, invisible. Therefore, adihi yesham, yesham adihi avyaktam. Adarshanam, invisible, non-available. Tani bhutani avyaktadini yesham bhutanam adihi avyaktam. Tani bhutani avyakta adini bhutani. You can say adihi avyaktaha, adihi adarshanaha, adihi anupalab. Okay, there is anupalabdhi of the adi, the beginning of which is anupalabdham. So there is non-availability of the beginning condition of these beings. There is invisible, the beginning condition of the beings is invisible, imperceptible. Therefore, tani bhutani avyaktadini kani tani putra mitradi karyakarana sanghatatmakanam adihi. Bhutanam ityukte kesham. So the beginning of, the beginning condition before the origination of the forms, names and functions, in the form of body, mind, sense complexes, okay, before the origination, what was the condition? How were they? Putra mitradi karyakarana sanghatatmakanam bhutanam. Beings in the form of body, mind, sense complexes of projects, sons, friends, etc. So, sons and friends, why sons and friends? They're very close. That's why they are mentioned here. Body, sarvesham, you can simply say, putra, mitradi, why you should say. The body, mind, sense, complexes of all the beings, we should say, in fact. So, body, mind, sense, complexes. So, beings in the form of body, mind, sense, complexes of all the people, specifically such as sons, friends, etc. All of them, avyaktadini bhutani prag utpattehe, utpattehe prag, utpattehe before their origination, before their coming into existence, all these, the bhutani, karyakarana sanghatani, in the form karyakarana sanghatatmakani bhutani, karyakarana sanghatatmakani bhutani, beings in the form of body, mind, sense complexes, we can say forms, names and functions, they were all, how before the origination, they were invisible. They were unmanifest. They were imperceptible. They were incomprehensible, inconceivable, because they were not there. That's why if you take a clay ball and see, you can see the pot there, lids there. Is there a pot? If you take a small piece of, you know, lump of gold, are there ornaments? You can't trace the ornaments in a lump of gold. You can't trace the pot, etc. in the clay. Non-traceable. The forms, names and functions are non-traceable. Similarly, the body, mind, sense, the beings in the form of body, mind, sense complexes of near and dear people, they are all what? Before the origination, they were nowhere. It means what? They were non-traceable. They are there as the cause. Understand? I'm talking about the cause here. I mean, they were non-traceable. Why? Because they are all modifications. Modifications, appearances, changed forms. Similarly, avyaktadini. Okay, we understood. Then utpannanicha. Again, those body, mind, sense, the forms, names, and functions in terms of the body, mind, sense complexes which have originated. Utpannani, which have come into being, or which were born, which came into existence, which were originated. Maranath, prag maranath, before prag maranath means what? Until the death happens, until their death. What happened? Vyakta madhyani. So, avyakta madhyani. What does it mean? Madhyam vyaktam yesham. Madhyam vyaktam yesham bhutanam. Tani bhutani vyaktam adhyani. That's why all body, minds and beings in the form of body, minds and complexes of the near and dear people are available for interaction, perception, experience, enjoyment. Isn't maranat prak vyaktam adhyani. Avyakta nidhanani eva punaha. Again, from being perceptible, visible, interactable, enjoyable, comprehensible, but what now? Punaha again, avyakta nidhanani. Avyakta nidhanani means what? Nidhanam means maranam. Nidhanam means end. Nidhanam avyaktam yesham bhutanam. Tani bhutani avyakta nidhanani. Yesham karya karana sanghata atmakanam bhutanam nidhanam adarshanam avyaktam. Tani bhutani avyakta nidhanani. Again, yeah, what happens to them? Where are they? They disappear into nowhere. Nidhanani. So, maranad urdhvam api, after the death also, avyaktameva pratipadyate. Avyaktameva pratipadyate. Maranad urdhvam api, avyaktameva pratipadyate. What is understood is only the unmanifest condition. Unmanifest condition of those beings alone is understood, seen, okay, after the death. Tathacha uktam. So what is said here is, why they become unmanifest? Which means it implies the nature of the beings. The nature is change. Constantly undergoing changes is the nature of the beings, because karanasya gunaha karya anuvartante. They're all products of matter, and matter is of the nature of undergoing changes. Therefore, all the material products also are of the nature of undergoing changes. Because they change, the form undergoing a change is what? the form totally disappearing, not being traceable. The form, all the forms become non-traceable forms. That's the nature. So what? That is why the same thing, the unchangeable nature of the matter is alone said to be what? Maranam, that the change is the, death is nothing but a gross change. When it happens, you cannot trace that form and name again. The same form and name, you can see the cause, the clay. You can't trace the same form. Not the same form. You can see the gold, you cannot trace the same design which you have melted. Again, new things can come. That's a different thing. But once the form and name which came, again becomes non-traceable. And this is what is, again, because that is the nature. Tathacha uktam. Tathacha uktam. It has been also said, and the same fact also has been said, where in the Mahabharatam, he said, adarshanadapatitav punaschad at adarshanam gataha adarshanad apatitaha. Adarshanam means from invisible condition, okay, something which has originated, a being which has come into existence. Punahacha, again and again, adarshanam gataha, from invisible condition, something comes into manifestation, available for, it is available visibly, perceptibly. Again, adarshanam gataha. Again, it has gone back to the non-traceable condition. Punaha adarshanam gataha means has gone back to the non-traceable, invisible condition. What is that? The being, okay? You can say, the so-called person you whom you relate to here, no, the all this karyakarana sanghataha, adarshanadapatitaha, punaha cha adarshanam gataha. It came from, you know, non-invisible condition. In between, it's available. Again, it becomes invisible. Therefore, what? All the body, minds and complexes, all the material forms, names and functions are of the same nature. Therefore, which belongs to which? Which body, mind, sense, complex belongs to which body, mind, sense, complex? Which belongs to you? Which belongs to anyone? Nothing belongs to anyone here. Nothing belongs to anyone, none belongs to anyone also. For one to belong to another person, for something to belong to another something, there must be two things. Okay, the second thing is not there absolutely. Therefore, he says, na asau tava. Asau, this person, that this person whom you see in a given body, mind, sense complex, okay, the person with a given body, mind, sense complex, because this given body, mind, sense complex alone must be there for you to be able to relate to the other person as a second person, isn't it? That, what you think as yours, aso na tava. Oh, this is my son. This is my father. This is my friend. This is my neighbor. Isn't it? Aso na tava. This, okay, being doesn't belong to you. Na tasya tvam. Nor do you belong to other person. Tasya na tvam. Nothing belongs to you. Nor do you belong to the other person. This is a fact. Because which is you, for you something to belong to you? You must know first of all, once you discover what you are, once you understand what you are, you see what is it which belongs to you here. When you mistake yourself to be body, mind, sense complex, and you relate to other body, mind, sense complex as yours. And all these body, mind, sense complexes which you think as yours, or which you think as you, which belongs to other person, all these body, mind, sense complexes, the beings, all these beings, which are considered to be as yours, considered to be yours, and which, and your body, which is considered to be others, belonging to others, all these body beings in the form of body, mind, sense complexes are in the beginning, they come into existence. They are invisible. From nowhere they appear. Again they disappear into nowhere. Means the forms and forms, names and functions are non-traceable. That's the fact. That is why absolutely nothing belongs to you, none belongs to you, and you do not belong to other person also. Very, very bitter to this is, okay? People who are very emotional will be very upset. See, we should be very mature not to be affected by these bitter truths, okay? When bitter truths are said, facts are said, if you are very emotional, and I will not like in Bhagavad Gita class. Okay, people, that's why the number drops always. When you see some real facts are said, number will dwindle. Why? What Bhagavad Gita class? You know, we should be mistaken for, you know, oh my God, Gita class really makes a person feel very dry. You know, it's not possible for you to entertain any emotion at all. No, you must be kind and compassionate to other person who is immature. The mature person has to be kind and compassionate towards the immature person. But being mature should not be mistaken for a dryness or heartlessness or absence of compassion. Okay. Therefore, this is a fact. We have to understand this fact. We have to think, repeatedly dwell upon this fact, to assimilate this fact, so that we must have to accept the fact as a fact. We must be mature. Na asau tava. This being, in the form, any being, in the form of a body, mind, sense complex, doesn't belong to you. Na tasya. In the same way, your body, mind, sense complex, which you think as you, also doesn't belong to anyone. Tatra ka paridevana. What is there? The lamentation. No expression of the worry, the grief about the death of the beings. Iti. Tathacha uktam. So you see, we understood from this Mahabharata. Tatra ka paridevana. Ka paridevana means what? Kahava pralapaha. Shankara Bhagavatpada beautifully gives the meaning of the word paridevana. What is paridevana? Paridevana stilinga shabdaha. Pralapaha. What is pralapaha? Pralapati. Lapati means speaks. Pralapati means what? Repeatedly talking. And a pralapaha means lamentation. Okay? Repeatedly talking about what has happened. What has happened has caused grief. Caused because of the attachment of things, and it's undergone changes, which is no more available, or it is this loss. The things which have happened have happened. It can be loss, it can be death, it can be anything. Any that becomes an undesirable. The loss of friendship, a loss of lives, the loss of, you know, things, the association, caused what now? Pain, grief. And the grief is not bearable. When it is not bearable, it becomes expressed. Then it becomes called pralapaha. Therefore, the grief itself has no legitimacy, and expressing the grief, repeatedly talking about it, lamenting about it also is what? Lamentation also is meaningless. Tatra கஹவா பிரலாபகா, கா பரிதேவனா கா பிரலாபகா. இஸ் அதிருஷ்ட திருஷ்ட பிரஷ்ட பிராந்தி பூதேஷு பூதேஷு. So what is their lamentation about? The disappearance, the grief caused by the disappearance. What is the need for lamentation of the expression of grief over beings? Bhuteshu means towards the beings. And which beings? The grief over the beings, the death of the beings, disappearance of the beings. And which beings? Beings, Bhranti Bhuteshu. See, Bhranti Bhutani Bhutani. Bhranti Bhutani Bhutani means what? The beings which cause the delusion, which cause the confusion. Bhrantim Janayanti Bhutani, Bhranti Janayanti Bhutani, Bhranti Bhutani. The beings in the form of body, mind, sense complexes. The beings in the form of forms. Okay. The beings in the form of body, mind, sense complexes. In the form of the forms which appear to be real. All the forms appear to be real. The forms which appear to be real, though they are not real, but they appear to be real, therefore they cause confusion. Okay? Appearing to be real, cause confusion. The non-real, as though real, forms which appear, real forms appear to be real, therefore they bhranti bhutani. So all the beings appearing to be real, which caused confusion, are Bhranti Bhute Bhutani. Bhranti Bhutani Bhutani. So Bhutani, first the word Bhranti Bhutani means what? Forms. Forms, names and functions. You can say forms simply otherwise. Forms which cause confusion, appearing to be real, are Bhranti Bhutani. So Bhutani, the beings, are the mere non-substantial forms which cause confusion, though not real, appearing to be real. Got it? Yeah. Why? Adrishta, drishta, pranashta, bhranti bhutani. All these beings in the form of beings of forms, names and functions which are not real but which appear to be real, causing confusion, or what now? Definitely adrishtani. The beginning, no, before the origination, they're absolutely non-visible, invisible, imperceptible, they're not there. And from nowhere, drishtani, they become what? They become manifest. They're visible. Again, pranashtani bhavanti. Adrishtani become drishtani. Drishtani again become what? Pranashtani. Again, they disappear into nowhere means what? They completely become non-traceable. Once the body is cremated, you know, we take asthi next day to take it to Ganga or Yamuna, some nice river. We do a lot of pujas. And how much ever you take it, can you trace the person? Oh my God, how beautiful, even Miss World or what, whoever it is, handsome person also. Once cremated means, can you trace the same sharp nose, bright eyes and beautiful lips and hair and then skin and what the complexion was? Non-traceable. That's what adarshanam. Understand? They call it pranasha. Use the word pranasha in two senses, isn't it? Buddhi pranasha is different. It's different thing. But here, matter pranasha. Shaira Pranasha is what? It's completely, again, it's gone for good. That's called Pranasha. Absolute, totally non-traceably, it has gone, means Pranashta. So, Drishta, Adrishta, Pranashta, Branti, Bhutani, Bhutani. It's the nominative case. And what is the locative case? Drishta, Adrishta, Pranashta, Branti, Bhuteshu, Bhuteshu. Bhuteshu. Katra ka paridevana kahava pralapaha. What is this lamentation? Expression of the grief which doesn't have any legitimacy at all. Over these beings which are nothing but forms. Beings, the word bhutesh means forms. First, branti bhutesh means confusion-causing forms. The beings are confusion-causing forms which appear, which disappear, which come from disappearance. They appear from being disappeared. They appear from being invisible. Again, they become invisible, non-traceably invisible. Adrushta, drishta, pranashta, bhranti, bhuteshu, bhuteshu, kahava palapaha, kava, ka paridevana. Same meaning. Tatra, ka paridevana. In Tamil, we can say pulambal. Pulambal is what? Irundare, poitare, he was there, how he lived and how I missed, you know. And now he's no more, you know. Of course, the separation of somebody, have been living for 50 years, 60 years. And especially after having a Shatabhishekam and Kanakabhishekam and Shatabhishekam, then one after the other. And one person goes before the other person means what? They're very painful, isn't it? So, it is painful, but we have to be prepared. One day is going to happen. This is the nature of the material beings. The beings are here, material, body, mind, sense, complexes. Okay. Okay, finish. Now, the commentary on the 28 verses over, 29th verse, very simple verses actually. Simple commentary also. Now, the following commentary is an introduction to the 29th verse. Okay. So, Shankara Bhagavatpada says, Durvijneyaha ayam prakritaha atma. See, it's very, Shankara Bhagavatpada himself justifies that why lamentation is there. Even though lamentation is unnecessary, because the expression of grief in terms of lamentation is unnecessary, because grief itself has no legitimacy. But still it is there, natural. Why? Because there is ignorance. Ignorance is the cause for this unnecessary grief and lamentation. Therefore, he says, ignorance of the Atma is there beginninglessly. Ignorance of the reality, ignorance of one's own essential nature, Atma is naturally there, beginninglessly there. And ignorance caused attachment is natural. Attachment caused grief is very natural. And lamentation is also very natural. Dukkhena paridevana. Ragena dukkham. Ajnanena ragaha. Ajnanena ragaha. Attachment is because of ignorance. And because of attachment, there is shokaha, grief. And because of grief, there is paridevana, lamentation. It is natural. So Shankar Bhagavatpada says, I am Atma. Okay. I am Atma means what? I am Prakritaha Atma. This Atma, this abstract, formless reality, all pervasive reality, which is the real meaning of I, the substance of the substantive I, which is being discussed now at present in all these verses from the second verse onwards, 12th verse onwards. The Swarupma of the Atma is discussed, the nature of the Atma, which is discussed in these verses. Therefore, Prakritaha Atma, I am Atma, this Atma, the abstract reality, all-pervasive reality, Atma, which is being discussed now, okay, in all these verses, actually, is not something which can be understood easily. Durvigneyaha, I am Atma, Durvigneyaha. Atma is Durvigneyaha, which cannot be understood easily, which can be understood only with great difficulty. So, Gneyaha means can be known. Vigneyaha can be known. Durvigneyaha can be known with difficulty, means cannot be known easily. Why Atma, this Atma which is being discussed now cannot be known easily? I am Prakritaha Atma, Durvigneyaha, Kimartam. He is going to say later on. Okay, Sukshmatamatvat, because of its extreme subtleness, it cannot be known easily. Extreme subtleness implies what? It is not available for objectification. It is not an object. And we always, whoever wants to know Atma, if at all somebody wants to know Atma, and we try to search for Atma as something how we search for other things in the world, other objects in the world. That is why it cannot be easily unknown. I am Prakritaha Atma, Durvigneyaha. Therefore, this knowledge of the Atma being very difficult, okay? Not simply ascertaining, understanding, ascertaining this Atma as one's own self. Because shifting one's identity from gross body, mind, sense complex to the subtlest, abstract, formless reality is not an easy joke. No, it is like, you know, because you something solid you're identified with as individual. And when you discover this, when Shastra is studied, Shastra's words are unfolded and you are gradually helped to see the fact of your essential nature being formless, abstract reality. And shifting the identity from anatma to atma, grossest body to this abstract, subtlest consciousness is not an easy joke. That's why I am Prakritaha Atma Durvigneyaha. It is not something which can be easily owned, easily taken ownership of, easily known. It involves great difficulty. Therefore, ignorance being very natural, Atma Jnanam being very difficult, it is natural for all the people, the entire humanity, to be affected by this problem of attachment. Attachment caused grief, and grief caused confusion, and confusion caused lamentation also. Very natural. So he says, when it is common for the entirety of the humanity, this problem of being subject to ignorance, being afflicted by the ignorance caused attachment, attachment caused, you know, confusion caused lamentation, being very natural, he says, it is not, there's no point in pointing out one individual and saying you are wrong, isn't it? So Bhagavan says, Chandra Bhagavatpada says, Kim Twam Yekameva Upalabhe Sadharane Bhranti Nimitte. See, Sadharanam Bhranti Nimittam. Sadharanam Bhranti. What is Sadharanam Bhranti Nimittam? Sadharanam means this lamentation is what very common. Sadharanam means Samanyam. Common means universal. Universal means the entire humanity is sailing in the same boat with reference to this particular problem of having, you know, being afflicted by this problem of ignorance. Ignorance caused sorrow, attachment. Attachment caused sorrow. Sorrow caused lamentation. Therefore, Bhranti Nimitte. Bhranti is confusion. What is the confusion here? All these body, mind, sense, all these beings in the form of body, mind, sense complexes are not only they come and go, they're also not real. So the entire objective universe is not real. All the forms, names and functions are not real. The beings in the form of body, mind, sense complexes are not real. Not real means what? They're as though. They're only appearances. Then we are very clear when you understand, oh, waves come and go. Waves are of the nature of come and go. Why? Waves do come and go. That is the nature of waves. We understand. We accept. And waves are not real. They're only appearance. Waves are appearances of the only truth called water. We understand. When you talk about the wave and water, we understand very intelligently. We're very jnanis. And the Shastram says, how you understand the waves are of the nature of coming and going. Waves are of the nature of simply as though, waves are as though appearances. Not, they're not real. In the same way, here all these beings, we can say entire universe, all forms, names and functions, all the beings, all these body, mind, sense complexes, all these beings also, are what? They appear and disappear. They appear and disappear. They come and go. They are of the nature of arriving and departing. That's why the world itself is called Jayate Gacchati Iti Jagat. Jayate Gacchati. Jayate Gacchati Iti Jagat. That is the nature. It comes and goes, and it's also not real. One thing we can accept, all the, okay, people who are born, they live, and they die. We somehow accept that coming and going. But what is difficult, most difficult to understand is they're not real. Very difficult to accept the fact that these beings are not real. Therefore, there is a big confusion. What is not real, being mistaken to be real, is what? The confusion. Isn't it? Not real is mistaken to be real. That's called Bhrantihi. And what is the nimittam for the Bhrantihi? Why there is, what cause of the confusion of mistaking as though appearing forms to be real forms? As though forms, and then, as though appearing forms to be real forms. And this, so, Bhranti Nimittam is Ajnanam. With reference to this ignorance, Sati Saptami, when there is ignorance, the cause of confusion, of mistaking the non-real to be real, which is very common, universal, when this ignorance, the cause of confusion, is there universally, when it's being common and universal, Tvam yekameva kim upalabhe? Why do I find fault with you only, Arjuna? Tvam yekameva kim upalabhe? Tvam, you, yekameva, only you, kim, kim means kimartham. Kim literally means what? You take it as kimartham. Kimartham tvam yekameva upalabhe. See the verb upalabhe, very interesting, okay? Labhe, the verb labhe derived from the root labh. Labhe means what? I gain. Alabhe, alabhati, isn't it? A is a prefix. You add a prefix to upa also. Upa, a, two prefixes. Upa plus a plus labhe, upalabhe. Upalabhe completely meaning changes. So, does not mean gaining, does not mean attaining, does not mean obtaining. Upalabhe means I criticize. Aham upalabhe. Aham tvam upalabhe means I criticize you, I blame you, I find fault with you. That's the meaning. Aham tvam upalabhe. See, I blame you, I find fault with you, I criticize you. Means what? Aham tvam upalabhe. Tvam yekameva kim upalabhe? Okay, why should I find fault with only you? Why should I blame only you? Why should I criticize only you? That you are simply lamenting for situation which doesn't deserve any lamentation. You grieve over things which do not deserve any grief. Isn't it? When Bhagavan asks, it is like lamenting him. It is like what? Blaming him, isn't it? What's the need for you to lament about it? What's the need for you to grieve over this death? Very natural. No, this is what I said. So Bhagavan, Shankar Bhagavatpada says, Kim tvam yekameva upalabhe? Why do I blame you alone? Why do you find fault with you alone? When the cause of confusion, the ignorance being universal, common, as a result of which the entire humanity sails in the same boat with reference to this problem. Kim tvam yekameva upalabhe sadharane bhranti nimitte? Vishaye, bhranti nimitte vishaye, that's the meaning. So ignorance is very common, universal, natural. If you are not ignorant, they wouldn't have been born. The very proof that you are born, any human being who is born in this world is born because of ignorance only. If the ignorance was not there, you wouldn't have been born. Doesn't matter which part of the world you are born. Wherever you are born, however you are born, okay? Still, once you're born means you're ignorant of the self. Therefore, this is a common problem. And this problem, so being ignorant, being a natural, common, universal problem, the cause being universal, and the effect caused by the ignorance, universal problem, is also what? Will be universal, very natural. It's not that only one person is grieving over something unnecessarily. The whole humanity is grieving. Whole humanity is lamenting about the grief caused by this change happening on the part of beings in terms of death. Is it clear? Okay. Therefore, now he says, ignorance is natural. Why ignorance is also naturally? Why? Because knowledge is not that easy. Katham durvigneha ayamatma iti aha. How this atma is not, atma cannot be easily known. Why atma cannot be known easily? Katam atma, I am atma durvigneha. Atma is not something easily, which can be understood easily. So he is explaining the following. Iti aha. The Bhagavan Krishna saying that Arjuna alone, Arjuna is not the one person who is to be blamed for being afflicted by this problem of ignorance, and ignorance caused attachment, attachment caused grief, and grief caused lamentation. Arjuna is the only person. What Arjuna is afflicted by is the problem afflicting the entire humanity. Because of the difficulty in knowing the Atma. Katam Atma Durvigneyaha Iti Aha. Now in the following verse, we are going to see. Aschariyavat Pashyati Kaschidenam. Aschariyavat Pashyati Kaschidenam. Aschariyavad Vadati Tathaiva Chanyaha. Aschariyavad Vadati. Aschariyavad Pashyati Kaschidenam. Aschariyavad Vadati Tathaiva Chanyaha. Aschariyavad Chainamanyashrunoti Shrutvapyenam Vedana Chaiva Kaschit. Aschariyavat Pashyati. How and why Atma is not easily understandable. Aschariyavat Pashyati Kaschidenam. Aschariyavad Vadati Tathaiva Chanyaha. Aschariyavad Chainamanyashrunoti Shrutvapyenam Vedana Chaiva Kaschit. Okay. A subtle fact is revealed here. In this verse, the Kenopanishad, the meaning of the Kenopanishad mantra is actually given in different words. How we'll see later on in the Bhashyam. Let us see the literal meaning of the verse first. Kaschit Yenam Aschariyavati Pashyati. Someone Yenam Atmanam Aschariyavati Pashyati. Pashyati means Janati. The person who sees this Atma, who knows this Atma, the truth, as a great wonder, an extreme wonder. When he sees this Atma as the great wonder, he knows Atma as the great wonder, he sees this Atma Jnanam, the knowledge of the Atma, is also something amazingly wonderful. Why? It liberates a person. It gives a different perspective to the person. Therefore, the person who sees the Atma, who knows the Atma as the wonder, and he sees Jnanam, Atma Jnanam as some extremely wonderful knowledge. Wonderful. Why? Nothing else in the world can relieve a person. No achievement in the world can relieve a person from samsara, free a person from unhappiness, grief. Okay, next. Aschayavat vadati vadati tathayeva cha anyaha. So for a person, for one to know the Atma, he must have been exposed to the teaching, and there must be the person who is imparting this knowledge. He is the teacher. Anyaha tathayeva, in the same way as well. And cha anya, other person, aschayavat vadati, when he is imparting the knowledge of the Atma also, seeing his Atma as a wonder, aschayavattu vadati. Aschayavattu vadati. Why? Any teacher can impart the knowledge of anything else. But then, which other teacher is teaching which other subject matter? They're talking about the objects in the world. Any teacher teaching subject matter of anything in the world, the teacher is talking about the objects in the world. Objects which can be known through sense organs, which can be perceptible through, which are perceptible through sense organs, or at least conceivable through mind, or which can be described through words. And based on the perception, which can be known through any other pramanam, which can make them think and arrive at the truth. So all of the teachers teach subject matter of only things which within the realm of the objective universe. Whereas this teacher, this the person who speaks about the Atma, not about who unfolds the nature of the Atma, who imparts the nature of the Atma, this person also teaches, imparts his knowledge, seeing the Atma has a wonder. Aschariyavate vadati, as though it's a wonder. And the Atma Jnanam also is wonderful. Aschariyavate cha anyaha shunoti. When the teacher is imparting the teaching, another person who listens to the unfoldment of the nature of the Atma also shunoti, katham shunoti, aschariyavate, as though what is being heard, what is being understood is a wonder. Atma is wonder, Atma Jnanam is wonderful. But Shutva Api, so Jnat Shutva Api, even after having heard the Atma being unfolded in terms of its nature, Shutva Api, kaschit cha naiva veda, enam naiva veda. One does not know this Atma at all. What does it mean? Someone does not know the Atma at all means, two meanings are there. Unprepared minded, who is not adequately qualified for the knowledge of the Atma, who has not taken care of this mental preparation in terms of purification steadiness, who is disturbed and restless, of course, being unqualified, cannot know the Atma. Because he is not qualified for knowing the Atma. One meaning. Another meaning is, the person who is qualified to know the Atma, who have been exposed to the teaching, and who learns from, who is taught by a competent teacher, when being as a qualified student, learning from a competent teacher, definitely understands the Atma, but not as an object. Does not know means what? He knows the Atma, but he does not know the Atma as an object. After having heard, he discovers, knows the Atma, but not as an object. Understand the second meaning. Kaschit Nachayeva Veda means one does not know the Atma at all means what? The two people. Kaschit implies the person, unqualified person being unqualified, he is not able to know the Atma. He does not know the Atma. He simply listens and listens. Mental preparation is not there. So knowledge does not take place. But other person who is qualified, who listens to the person, he does not know the Atma means he does not know the Atma. Why? Atma is the very self. The person who has taken ownership of Atma as a self does not know the Atma because Atma is not an object for him. That's why it is said in the Upanishad, Keno Upanishad. One who says he knows the Atma. Yaha Veda Sahana Veda. One who knows the Atma does not know why. If somebody says, I know the Atma, then for him Atma becomes an object. The person who sees the Atma as an object, he does not know. The person who does not know the Atma means what? The person for whom the Atma is not an object, Atma with his subject, he is the person who really knows. So Atma is not an object of knowledge, not available at all for objectification through any of the pramanams, for mind or sense organs or words or for any other pramana, and absolutely formless, abstract. It is not the cause, it is not the effect, but the truth of cause and effect. That Atma is the very truth in which cause and effect in their existence, the only source of all knowledge. Therefore, because of this subtleness, abstractness, not being an object, Atma cannot be known easily. Atma durvijnyaya. Okay, this is the literal meaning of the mantra. Let us see the bhashyam now. Aschariyavat. Aschariyavad. See, aschariyam eva. Vat is an affix. If we say aschariyavat purushaha, aschariyavan purushaha, means what? The person who has the wonder is aschariyavan, like gunavan dhanan. But here, vat does not mean, the vat affix is not used in the sense of possession, but is like gunavat, means one who has guna. So aschariyavat does not mean the one who has the aschariyam. No. Vat means like, eva. Aschariyavat means what? Aschariyam. Aschariyavat means what? Aschariyam. Aschariyam means what? Wonder. Wonder means what? Adrishtapurvam. Something which is seen, which was not seen at all before. Adrishtapurvam. Purvam na drishtam yat tad adbhutam aschariyam. That which has not been seen before is a wonder. Adbhutam, aschariyam. So adrishtapuram, adbhutam, a wonder which is not, something wonder, which has not been seen before at all. Akasmat drishyamanam. Again, you must be very careful with the word akasmat. In Tamil, as in many Indian languages, the word akasmat is used. Kasmat karanat saha agataha. He has come because what is the reason for his arrival here? What, because of which reason has he come? Kasmat karanat. There's no reason, simply has come. Akasmat means unexpectedly. Akasmat is used in the sense of unexpectedly. Saha akasmat agatavan means what? There's no specific reason why he came. We didn't expect him, or he didn't expect to come. By chance, he came. Unexpectedly, he come. He came. Yes, come means akasmat agatavan. But here, akasmat does not mean unexpectedly also. Then, akasmat drishyamanam. Tena tulyam. See, Atma is something similar to which has not been seen before and which is unexpectedly suddenly seen. Becomes a great wonder. Like that, tulyam, similar to that. Ascharyavat. Ascharyam iva. Yenam atmanam pasyati kaschit. Pasyati here means knows. The person who sees the Atma, who knows the Atma, now he sees the Atma as a great wonder. Extreme wonder. Tremendous wonder. Why? Because of the abstractness, subtleness, and being the only truth of everything, the uniqueness of the Atma, which alone is really there. Therefore, he's the person, when he understands, when he sees, when he knows the Atma, he sees this Atma as a great wonder because of its uniqueness. It's not anything in the world, but everything is this Atma. The invisible Atma is the truth of all the visible forms. It's a wonder. It's a uniqueness. Enam atmanam kaschit. Enam atmanam kaschit. Ascharyam iva pasyati. Ascharyavad is equal to ascharyam iva, as though a great wonder, which is similar to something which has not been seen before and which is suddenly seen. Unexpectedly seen. Ascharyavati. Adrushtapuram adbhutam akasmat drishyamanam tena tulyam. This Atma is what? Tulyam. Similar to something which is being seen. Which is seen how? Not quite often you see here and there. Which is seen rarely. How many people in the world, how many people in the world are interested in knowing the Atma? Who is thinking of, let me know the Atma? Because Atma is not the subject matter at all which really draws the attention of many, many people. There's so many courses are advertised and people go after those so many courses. Why? Because they know they know some monetary benefit. So the people want to go after all those things. Atmajnanam class are given free. Come. Who will come? Therefore, there is ascharyam, isn't it? That's why the subject matter of Atma is a very rare subject matter, which attracts the attention of people. And very rarely people choose to make effort to study the Shastram, to know the Atma. Very rare. That's why this knowledge of the Atma is something wonderfully rare. And subject, the Atma itself is what? Amazingly rare truth. A unique truth. Therefore, the person who knows this Atma sees his Atma as a great wonder. When he discovers the Atma through the teaching, My God, how, no? This is the only truth. Everything else is not there, as though. One has to see everything else from the standpoint of the Atma to see how Atma is a wonder. Devara Ascharyavathu Enam Atmanam Pashyati Kaschithu. Ascharyavathu. Okay. Ascharyavathu Enam Vadati Tatha Evacha Anyaha. Other person. Now, here, who sees his Atma as a wonder? The person who knows. The knower of the Atma is discussed in the first sentence. The second sentence, for one to have the knowledge, we must have been exposed to teaching, and there must be a teacher who talks about this Atma. He says, Ascharyavati enam vadati tatha eva cha anyaha. Tatha, in the same way, the knower of the Atma sees the Atma as a unique reality wonder. In the standpoint of which everything else is mithya. Now the person who is talking, unfold the nature of the Atma also, sees this Atma as a wonder. Ascharyavati echa enam anyaha vadati. So he, again, Shankara Bhagavatpada does not comment about the next following sentences. He simply reproduces the same statements. Ascharyavatcha enam anyaha shunoti. Other person, the student who is listening to the unfoldment of the nature of the Atma also, listens to the teaching, seeing the Atma as a wonder, a unique reality, invisible, imperceptible, incomprehensible, but which alone is there as everything. Because he sees the fact. And how one can appraise this mind-boggling, inexplicably vast cosmos by its mere presence, not doing anything. He said he also listens to the teaching as a list teaching. So this knowledge is wonderful. The Atma, the subject matter of this knowledge also is a wonder. Shutva, drishtva, uktva. So having heard this unfoldment of the nature of the Atma, having clearly understood the nature of the Atma, and having imparted this teaching, the other person also, api yenam veda nacha eva kaschit, yenam veda nacha eva kaschit, kaschit yenam nacha veda, nacha eva veda. One does not know at all this Atma. For this, we have to give two meanings. I told you already, the person who is unqualified, who is not capable of grasping or dwelling upon it or assimilating, doesn't know the Atma, in spite of being given to the teaching. Or other person, whoever understands, whoever teaches, and whoever knows this Atma, definitely does not know this Atma. Because Atma is not an object for the person. Atma is the very Swarupam of the person. Got it? Atma, Atmanaha Avishayatvat Atmanam Naveda. It's not here, I'm just saying. Okay? As Atma is not an object of knowledge, and Atma is the very Swarupam of the knower. Even the person who discovers the Atma as one's own Swarupam, not as an object. Therefore, one does not know the Atma as an object. One arises the Atma as one's own self. That is the meaning here. Shankaracharya says, Athava, Yaha Ayam Atmanam Pashyati. Now, this can be interpreted differently. So, Shankara Bhagavatpada says, Athava, otherwise, this verse can be interpreted differently. How it can be interpreted? He says, Yaha Ayam Atmanam Pashyati. The wise person who knows this Atma, Saha, Ascharya Tulyaha. The person who knows the Atma is really, similar to something wonderful. Ascharya Tulyaha. He is a wonder. The Jnani is a wonder himself. Jnani is wonderful. Jnani is a wonder. How many people have the clear vision of the Atma? Therefore, Atmanam yaha pashyati, yaha ayam atmanam pashyati, the person who sees his atma, he is something, sees himself a wonder, similar to something wonder. Yaha vadati, yaha cha shunoti, the person who unfolds the nature of the atma, the person who listens to the teaching, yaha cha shunoti, Saha aneka sahasreshu kaschideva bhavati. There are aneka sahasreshu of many, many, many thousands and thousands of people. Rarely one person knows the Atma. Of millions of people, of thousands and thousands of people, one person rarely has interest in teaching this Shastram. Of thousands and thousands and millions of people, rarely one person is interested in listening to the teaching. We used to say when Pujya Swamiji was living in Coimbatore, can you believe a Mahatma like Swamiji with a clear vision, teachings, giving his time physically, blood and flesh was available. How many were coming from Coimbatore? Every weekend, I used to go chasing, the arranging bus, arranging things. We used to go make efforts. How many were going to Gurukulam to make use of his presence? And many people waited and waited and waited for Swamiji to start the Gurukulam, come and learn. When the first course was inaugurated, in Pujya Swamiji, 1986, he told me, Amma, we are going to have an ashram Gurukulam here soon. In 1986, he told me. Okay. And you just come and then you wait for me. So 1990, the Gurukulam was inaugurated. And the people who have been listening to Swamiji in various occasions, in different places, different parts of the world, who were very keen to study with Swamiji, some 100, 120 people came together for the first course. For the whole world, 120 people came to listen to this teaching. So they're rare. Who waited for years for Swamiji to start the Gurukulam in 1990 October, Gurukulam was inaugurated. On the day of inauguration, I saw, these many have come. These many have come is a big number. Only these many have come. For such a great teachers available. And then from Coimbatore, at least people had a lot of difficulties, in coming to all the way to Coimbatore in India, many people from all over the world. But how about people living in Coimbatore? How many could make effort to go? No, let me go and be there, study. You make use of this. So, young people leave alone. Many people, young people with other commitments, duties, leave. How many old people who are free, who had money, who had free time, who had energy, who could have gone for this? How many? Now some people regret. Now some people, old people regretting. We miss Swamiji. Simply they say, this also, maybe I don't know. Because rare. Because his interest for knowing the truth is very rare. And in somebody with a clear vision to teach, they're really rare. And who knows this truth, very, very, very rare. The knower of the Atma is very rare. One who teaches his Atma is very rare with a vision. And the one who wants to know with the commitment, the Shraddha, the desperateness, one studying the Atma is also very rare. That is why he gives other different meaning also for this verse. Yaha Atmanam Pashyati Saha Ascharyatulyaha. Yaha Vadati Saha Ascharyatulyaha. Yaha Cha Shrunoti Ascha Ascharyatulyaha. Why? Aneka Sahasreshu Kaschideva Sahabhavati. That person who knows the Atma, that person who's unfolded the nature of the Atma, that person who wants to know the Atma, who listens to the unfoldment of the nature of the Atma, the great Shraddha, that person becomes one in millions. Therefore, he's a rare person. Therefore, Atma is wonder. Atma Jnanam is a wonder. And the knower of the Atma, the student of the subject matter of, you know, one who wants to know the Atma, who listens to the teaching of the Atma, one who teaches the nature of the Atma, one who knows the nature of the Atma, is one in millions. It's a wonder. He is a wonder. Saha aneka sahasreshu kaschideva bhavati ataha durbodha atma iti abhiprayaha. Because therefore, abhiprayaha, what is intended here? What is conveyed here? What is the intention? Is atma durvig atma durbodha. Atma durbodha means what? Understanding of the Atma is very difficult because of its extreme subtleness and rareness, uniqueness. And is being not an object. That's why Janmantra Samskara. Somewhere, some interest, one must have picked up. Overnight, one cannot become interested in listening to the Shastra. Na pumsam advaita vasana vina punyena. Without punyam, somewhere, even inclination to listen will not be there. Now, atha, I'm going to end, stop here. Idanim prakaranartham upasamharan brute. Shikram Gudpada says, Bhagavan says, upasamharan, summarizing the contents of the entire section. Atha, then, idanim, now, in the following 30th verse, Bhagavan says, upasamharan, summarizing the content of the entire section. Prakaranartham. This entire section means what? In the whole second chapter, we have, you know, the first part, where the introduction of the second chapter, until the 10th verse. 11th verse onwards, Bhagavan's teaching begins. 11th verse onwards until the 30th verse. We can say 25th verse, but still the 30th verse. Bhagavan discusses only the subject matter of the Atma. Atma is the subject matter discussed in these verses, which means the nature of the Atma is discussed in these verses. So, this is Atma Jnana Vishayam Prakaranam. This is the, see, Prakaranam also means what? Prakaranam here means a section. In this section, dealing with the nature of the Atma, so in the following 30th verse, which is the concluding verse of this particular section dealing with the Atma, summarizing the content of the entire section, Bhagavan says, Prakarana idanim prakarana artham, prakaranartham upasamharan brute. Brute means braviti. Braviti means what? Bhagavan says. When he concludes summarizing the contents of the entire section dealing with the nature of the Atma. What is it? What is the verse? We'll see tomorrow. Is it all right? Clear? Next class onwards, I will see that I'll make it very clear whenever Sati Saptami expressions come. Okay? Today we did come across 2-3 sentences. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnah Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.